Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Hidden Frontier Ecology and Ethnicity in an Alpine Valley is a classic anthropological and ethnographic study by John W. Cole and Eric R. Wolf, first published in 1974 and later reissued by University of California Press. The book examines two neighboring communities in the non-valley of the Tyrol region, St. Saint Felix and Trette, which lie close to one another and share similar alpine ecological conditions but differ sharply in language, settlement form, inheritance practice, and social orientation. Its central purpose is to show that environment alone cannot explain cultural organization. Instead, ecological life is mediated by ethnicity, history, political boundaries, kinship systems, and inherited ideas about land and community. By comparing a German-speaking village with an Italian-speaking village, Cole and Wolf use a small alpine setting to illuminate a much larger divide between Germanic and Romance Europe. The result is a focused study of how cultural frontiers persist within shared landscapes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a close comparison of Saint-Didier. Felix and Trette reveals culture within a shared ecology. The book is built around a controlled comparison, two villages situated near each other in the same alpine valley, facing broadly similar terrain, climate, and agricultural constraints. This design allows Cole and Wolf to challenge a simple environmental determinist explanation of village life. If ecology alone shapes social organization, St. Felix and Trette would be expected to resemble each other closely. Instead, the authors find that the same mountain environment is organized through different cultural principles. St. Felix, associated with German-speaking Tyroleans, and Trette, associated with Italian-speaking inhabitants, differ in settlement pattern, landholding, inheritance, and the symbolic importance of household versus community. The comparison is important because it treats ethnicity not as a decorative identity, but as an organizing force that shapes practical decisions about land, kinship, and residence. The shared setting makes the contrast more persuasive. The book does not deny ecological pressure, but it shows that ecology becomes socially meaningful only through historically formed institutions and values. Secondly, the hidden frontier marks a cultural boundary rather than a simple political line. The frontier in the title is hidden because it is not primarily a visible wall, state border, or natural barrier. It is a cultural boundary embedded in everyday practices, language, social expectations, and ideas about belonging. Cole and Wolf show that the line separating Germanic and Romance Europe can be observed at the scale of neighboring alpine settlements, even where people live in close proximity and occupy comparable environments. This approach makes the book more than a local village study. It turns the non-valley into a lens for examining how large historical formations persist in ordinary social life. The boundary is expressed in how people imagine the household, how land should pass between generations, where social attention is centered, and how community identity is maintained. The significance of the analysis lies in its refusal to treat ethnicity as merely a label. Ethnic difference becomes durable because it is reproduced through practical arrangements that affect property, residence, marriage strategies, and social status. Thirdly, inheritance systems shape land, family continuity, and social hierarchy. One of the book's most concrete contrasts concerns inheritance. In the German-speaking village of St. Felix, the Hof, or farm estate, is central to social organization and is ideally preserved as an intact unit across generations. Impartible inheritance, often associated with succession by a single heir, helps maintain the continuity of the estate and reinforces a household-centered view of society. In Trette, by contrast, land is more closely associated with family members and community participation, and division among heirs has historically been more characteristic. These differences are not minor technical rules. They influence settlement form, kinship obligations, economic strategy, and the meaning of family continuity. Where the estate is preserved as a unit, the household can become a relatively autonomous and enduring social center. Where land is divided, social life may depend more heavily on dense community relations and broader networks beyond the household. The authors use inheritance to show how legal and customary practices translate cultural values into lasting material patterns. Fourthly, settlement patterns express different ideas of household and community. The physical arrangement of the villages is a visible expression of deeper social organization. St. Felix is associated with a dispersed settlement pattern in which farmsteads are spread across the landscape and tied to the integrity of individual estates. This form corresponds to a social world in which the farm household and its land carry strong institutional and symbolic weight. Trette, by contrast, has a more nucleated settlement pattern, with community life focused around a village center and, by extension, connections to nearby urban and civic institutions. The book treats settlement form not simply as an adaptation to topography, but as a cultural artifact shaped by inheritance, ethnicity, and historical development. A dispersed pattern supports a sense of household autonomy, while a nucleated pattern encourages a stronger emphasis on communal interaction and collective identity. This contrast is one of the book's clearest demonstrations that landscapes are socially produced. Fields, houses, paths, and village centers embody assumptions about property, kinship, and social belonging. Lastly, historical depth explains why ecological similarity does not produce cultural uniformity. Cole and Wolf do not present the two villages as timeless cultural types. A major strength of the book is its historical orientation, tracing regional patterns from the medieval period into more recent village life. This historical dimension matters because the differences between St. Felix and Tret cannot be understood as immediate responses to climate, altitude, or agricultural need. They are the cumulative outcome of settlement history, linguistic affiliation, political incorporation, customary law, and changing economic relations. By reconstructing these long-term processes, the authors avoid reducing culture to either environment or ethnic essence. The book instead shows how boundaries are reproduced to institutions that endure, adapt, and sometimes harden over time. This makes the study relevant beyond the Alps. It offers a method for understanding borderlands in which neighboring populations share practical conditions but inherit different social frameworks. The historical approach also complicates any assumption that modernization automatically erases local distinctions, since older forms may persist within new economic and political contexts. In conclusion, The Hidden Frontier is best suited for readers interested in anthropology, cultural ecology, European ethnography, borderland studies, rural history, and the relationship between environment and social identity. It is especially useful for students and scholars who want a compact but influential example of comparative ethnographic method. The book's practical intellectual benefit is that it teaches readers to look beyond surface geography when explaining social life. Similar terrain, crops, and climate do not necessarily produce similar institutions. People inhabit environments through inherited cultural categories, legal arrangements, kinship systems, and ideas about community. Compared with many regional ethnographies, the book stands out because of its unusually clear comparative structure. Rather than describing one village in isolation, Cole and Wolf place two neighboring communities side by side and use their differences to test broader claims about ecology and ethnicity. It also differs from more abstract studies of ethnic identity by grounding cultural boundaries in concrete practices such as inheritance, settlement form, land tenure, and household organization. Its narrow geographic focus is not a weakness but the basis of its explanatory power. The study remains valuable because it shows how large civilizational boundaries can be reproduced in ordinary village routines, making a small alpine valley analytically significant for understanding culture, environment, and historical continuity. If you would like to support John W. Cole, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.